say it was an Iranian thing.
Hey. Okay. All right. So, good morning to everybody. We are going to continue it with Simon Resh Ayin Aleph. We were towards the end of Sif Hey. We were reading the comment of the Rama. We had two comments of the Mishnah Brura left in Sif Hey, and then from there we will learn Sif Vav. That will probably be more than enough today. Okay, so just a reminder. So the Rama had said, in my edition, it's page Mem Zayin, that if you have a very strange scenario where after you make the bracha, you forgot to make Kiddush on Friday night, and you make the bracha of Hamotzi, you're about to have some bread. So you obviously washed, I guess, and you make the bracha hamotzi. Before you take a bite, you happen to remember that you forgot to make kiddush. So the Rama had prescribed that yikadesh al hapas ve'achar kach yochal, then you should rather than just continue forward by making kiddush on the bread, and then afterwards eat. This is what he had prescribed. So let's begin today with Sifpaton Chaf Hei in the Mishnah Berurah. Who comments on the phrase "V'achar kach yochal," that after you make the kiddush on the bread, you should then go forward with eating. So ktas, and if you remember after you've taken a bite, so you took a bite of the challah, you took a bite of the bread, you said a motzi, you took a bite, and then you said, "Ooh, forgot to make kiddush." So bein kishein lo yayin. Whether or not you forgot, sorry, whether or not you don't have wine, and you're going to have to say the Kiddush bracha, the Asher Kiddushanu Mezavara, etc., on bread, or what's the spot here? Ovein kishayesh lo yayin, or whether you do have wine and you're going to make Kiddush on wine subsequently. So whether you're going to make the kiddush on new bread, meaning on two whole loaves, let's say, or you're going to take wine and make kiddush, and then you're going to take lechem mishnah, because presumably you didn't lose lechem mishnah here. You just were stam eating a piece of bread. So then the Mishnah Berurah says here, when you go back to eat the bread, in either scenario, you don't need to make a second hamotzi at that point. You just eat the bread. You just will eat from the Lechem Mishnah. Okay, there's nothing surprising about that. Okay, because you just made a hamotzi and now you're continuing on that trajectory. Now, back in the Ramah, he talks about if you look at the end of in my edition, it's the end of the first line on the top of the page. The Ramah says, "Aval behavdala yochal tchila, dehare ein mavdilin ala pas." If the same scenario happens at Havdalah, where it's now time for Havdalah, it's Motzei Shabbos, and really once the mitzvah of Havdalah is incumbent upon you, you're not allowed to eat until you've made Havdalah. In fact, there are sometimes penalties for doing such a thing. That a person, mean, the halacha is you can't eat until you made Havdalah, and once Shabbos is over. But let's say you went ahead and you forgot to make Havdalah before you ate something. And couple that with in Maariv, you forgot to insert the paragraph of Havdalah in Atachonin. If you forget the Atachonin Tanu paragraph in Havdalah, well, it is the Machlokas in the Gemara. Do you go back? Do you not go back? We Paskin, we don't go back. And you just should you'll be Yotzei on Havdalah ala kos. But you should have 2 points. Number one, you should be careful if that happens to you. You shall not just go in the car and drive home after Shabbos is over without saying the magical words, Baruch Hamavdim and Kodesh Tuchol. You don't need to go back and say Atachon Antanu, but you should say Baruch Hamavdim and Kodesh Tuchol, because you really never said anything that distinguished that I'm now saying it's the weekdays and no longer Shabbos. So number one. And number two, if you forget to say Atachon Antanu, even if you remember to say Baruch Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, and then you go home and you eat before you make Havdalah al HaKos, then the Chachamim give you a knas that you need to go back. It's an interesting knas, by the way. I don't want to get into it because it's not really our topic. But there's a knas that you have to daven the Shmoneh Esrei again for Maariv. So there's a bit of a penalty there. Again, davening to Hashem being conceded the penalty is an interesting idea, but
why not just make the kiddush, the
you will, but do you oh, you're saying the paragraph?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the idea is that it really needs, it should be a part of a bracha. It should be I want to even say in the Mishnah and Brachos, please don't quote me on this, like I'm holding with everything in Shas, that I think that there's one opinion, it's a minority opinion in the Mishnah, that Havdalah in the Shmona Esrei should be its own bracha. I don't think we pass them like that. I want to say there's one opinion that says that the fourth bracha on Motzei Shabbos should be Havdalah, and not Atachon, Atachon would be next. We put Havdalah in Atachonin, which is the majority opinion, I believe, in that Mishnah. I think it's in the fifth paragraph of Brachos. Yeah, you could do whatever you could do. You could do all the things you need to do, but eating you can't do. What do you mean?
In the form of Havdalah could be pushed off even beyond.
Yes, it can. I don't recommend it, because the right. I mean, that's the situation. I'll give you an example, actually. Was somebody here actually in the community a few weeks ago that there was a big delay in between the parent being Niftar and then the funeral. It was the Fredmans. Because there was Israel and everything. So by the time, the period of Aninus, you don't make brachos, you don't daven, you don't put on tefillin, etc. One of the things you also don't do, this happened to me when I was an Onim, is you don't make Havdalah either. You don't. So once there's a time for Shabbos being out hits, you say Baruch Hamavdi Ben Kodesh Lechol, so that you make a demarcation between the Shabbos and the weekday. But you don't daven Maariv, and you don't make Havdalah. Everyone else can make Havdalah in your house, but you don't make Havdalah. So again, that happened to me actually. So the burial of my father was on Monday. Okay, he passed away before Shabbos. As a whole to do. And in that case, you don't make Havdalah until after the funeral. And then when you get home from the Levaya, you probably should take a cup of grape juice. And you say, no candle bracha, no bisame, but you make Havdalah. So sometimes Havdalah can be pushed off where sort of legitimately you're allowed to eat in the interim. If you forgot, because of whatever reasons, you shouldn't have been eating, the whole time, but then you can still make Havdalah until the sun goes down Tuesday. Right, on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, because Wednesday during Shabbos.
That's right. So you could, but really you're not supposed to eat until then. Now, probably a person who hasn't made Havdalah until Tuesday probably didn't realize that they didn't make Havdalah until somebody reminded them, so they were eating the whole time. But that's really the rule. So all I'm saying here is that the Havdalah Yochal Tchila, you should, even if you make an accidental Hamotzi, even though there might be some repercussions of eating, and still it's not allowed, you should go ahead and eat the bread first and then make Havdalah, because you can't make Havdalah on bread. Havdalah can only be done on wine, or maybe when we get to the siman about Havdalah, you could make it on Shechar, on beer or other beverages that are commonly consumed in your Medina. So take a look at the Chaf Vav, Yochal Tchila. Why is Havdalah different? Why not say I should just make the Havdalah on the bread? So he says, Perush, Brusas Hamotzi, the little piece of bread that I was making Hamotzi on. This is not a Lecha Mishnah situation. I was going to eat something. Kadesh Shalot Yeb HaBracha Livatala. Why do I take a bite? Because otherwise it's a Bracha Livatala. And that in itself is its own problem. So look, you're in a whole bit of the Evid world here. Nothing was handled correctly from the outset. So you're trying to minimize the damage here. So take a bite of the bread so you don't have a Bracha Livatala. V'acharkach Tzarech LaHafsik. Then you have to stop. Take one bite. Stop. Make Havdalah.
This is a scenario which you forgot.
Yeah, you forgot. This is certainly not ideal.
Start washing hands.
You wash. You make Hamosi. Oof. I catch myself before I take the bite. Question is, do I go forward with Havdalah? Answer is no. You can't make Havdalah over bread. So take one bite and then stop and make Havdalah. By Mashikosov Hamaget Rambi Resh Simon Resh Tayites. He's going to give away a little bit too much here. I'm not going to delve into this too much. Well, we have to raise tight test. We'll really go into this with a lot of depth. That the Magen Avraham says the La Haposkim Havdalah de Rabbanon. According to the Poskim, who hold that Havdalah is only the Rabbanon, which is a big machlokas. It's Havdalah de Oraisa de Rabbanon, and that will come into a that will be some nafkaminas. That will be some practical differences about whether about certain actions to be taken if Havdalah is de Oraisa de Rabbanon. So the potential, the excellent question, Shlomo. The potential source for Havdalah being Doraisa is actually the same pasuk as for Kiddush. It's Zachoras Yom HaShabbos LeKodesho. You recall the Shabbos, and you by words by mentioning it at the beginning of Shabbos, and you actually pay tribute to Shabbos by Havdalah. You're saying now it's a different ball game. I'm leaving behind this very special day. So the words that, of Havdalah, really, they lift up Shabbos. The other thing about the words in the bracha at the end, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, right? I'm separating between what was holy and now what is going to be mundane, right? Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, ben Or Lechoshech, ben Yisrael LaAmim, ben Yom Hashvi'i, the seventh day, L'Sheish Yisimei Amasta, right? Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. So really, we're putting Shabbos on a pedestal in the bracha of Havdalah, and that's really what the mitzvah of Zachor is all about. So some say, some Rishonim interpret that Havdalah is Doraisa, and it's the same source as Kiddush. So that is why some people will hold as Doraisa. Some hold as Darabonim because come on, that's a big stretch. Zachor is only at the beginning of Shabbos. So Ein Sarach Lahafik. So according to the postkim, hold that Havdalah is only Darabonim. You wouldn't need to stop. There's no imperative to stop. Once you've started, even though it was started by, you know, in a way that was not correct, you shouldn't have done it. Rather, you should complete the meal and then afterwards make Havdalah. We don't paskin like this, okay? And actually, my little note here takes me to the Shara Tzion writes that the Sefer Nahar Shalom, Ik Shalom Agar Ram, Visiyem Hashem Yistaber, you should stop. Should you find yourself, if you catch yourself eating before you realize that you made Havdalah, you should stop immediately whatever you're eating. Mistakes happen, but if you can, once you catch yourself, you should stop and proceed to Havdalah. Okay.
Rav,
yes, Simeon, go ahead.
Rav, you said before that you would have a problem if you left shul, got in your car and drove home not having recited the Havdalah or heard the Havdalah. You did say that, correct?
No, I was saying, talking about saying the excuse me, the Atachon Antanu paragraph, excuse me, in the Shmoneh Esrei.
Well, the Atachon Antanu is something you can rely on in lieu of the Havdalah.
You can rely on it insofar as you want to drive, you want to light a fire for the Havdalah candle. You can do anything and everything when you say Atachon Antanu. Everything's on the board, as long as it's already also after Tetzah Kochavim, because you can daven early. So just bear that in mind. But you can do anything and everything. But one thing, which is eating and drinking, that you're not allowed to do until you've made Havdalah al Hakos.
But I thought, and I didn't think you were kidding when you said to wait till Tuesday. I thought that you still have a chance to say Havdalah up to and including Tuesday.
Yeah, I was not joking. You absolutely can, but you can't if you realize you haven't made Havdalah and you cannot eat. Put it that way. The halacha is you can't eat until you made Havdalah al hakos. Not Atachon Antanu, that you have to do anyways. If you forget, so you'll rely on the Havdalah al Hakos, but you need to say Baruch HaMavdil in order to start doing Malacha, right? In order to light the fire for the Havdalah candle, right? You have to say Baruch HaMavdil ben Kodesh Lechol minimally. But you're not allowed to eat or drink until you fill the mitzvah of Havdalah al Hakos. Because why? Just like any other mitzvah, Kriyas HaMegillah, Hanukkah candles. Anytime when there's a mitzvah that's really upon your shoulders at that moment, the Chazal dictated that you're not allowed to eat or drink because we don't want you to get distracted. Stay focused on the mitzvah. If you forget, Simeon, and I wake up Tuesday morning. I've been living a regular Sunday and Monday. I wake up Tuesday morning And I realized, I never made Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. So you could go ahead and make Havdalah. It's still the mitzvah, is still relevant to you. Yeah, you shouldn't have been eating the whole time. Okay. But you should still make Havdalah at that point. You can make Havdalah up until Tuesday when the sun sets. Okay. That's the halacha. Okay. But again, if you are aware, you should make Havdalah immediately because you're really not supposed to eat until you've made Havdalah. Okay. Al Hakos. All right. Sif Vav, back up on top. Shulchan Aruch says, okay, now, by the way, it's very important here. There are going to be two deos, okay? When you're learning the first day, you don't even know that there's a second opinion, and you think this is going to be the ultimate halacha, and you're like, wait, this is not what we do. So just bear in mind, there's going to be a second opinion here. And the first one is rife with problems. Okay, so just... just I'm giving you context so that you don't nobody loses it on me. So if you finish your meal, you started a meal on Friday afternoon. Let's even assume again you started at a time Bisman Heter, you started at lunchtime and you had a very long, drawn out affair. All right. If you finish the meal, v'kidei shayom, and then you look out the window and the sun has just set. The sun has just set. V'kidei shayom kodem sheberach birkas amazon, and it and you the sun sets. It's now Shabbos, but you had never benched yet. You ever benched? So the meal happened entirely during chol weekday, but then you never benched, and now it's Shabbos. Now, whenever you bench, ideally, if you have a group, you're making a zimun for sure. You're really supposed to use a kos. We're not so machbit on this today, for the most part. Maybe people on here we do it on Shalosh Shudas and Shabbos, but people aren't so machbit. It really in the Gemara, it was even the Rishonim. Of course, you use a cup of wine to make to do benching. So mevarech, so you can have a cup of wine for benching, but you also have an obligation of kiddush that's kicked in now. So you have two mitzvot over that need to be done over a kos. How do we handle this situation? So the Shulchan Aruch opinion number one says mevarach birkas hamazon al kos rishon. So you make birkas hamazon while holding cup number one. Yacharkach, put down cup number one. Omer kiddush hayom al kos sheni, pick up kos number two and make kiddush. So two cups. First, Birkas Hamazon, then Kiddush. V'tzarech lahazkir shel Shabbos b'Birkas Hamazon, af al pi shemevarech kodem Kiddush. This is the part where please don't attack me. Okay, you need to according to opinion number one. Okay, the Rosh's opinion is that you need to mention Shabbos Ritzei in the Birkas Hamazon, even though you're making the Birkas Hamazon before you even make Kiddush. It is technically Shabbos, of course, by the fact that the sun has gone below the horizon. But you never made Kiddush yet, and yet, in an odd way, you're going to say Ritzei before you make Kiddush. It's a very funny halacha. Now, let's take a look here at the Mishnah Berurah, just to get color for this opinion. Then the Ramah is going to throw a whole bunch of monkey wrenches into this thing, which is why opinion number one is going to, is going to have, is not going to be favored in the end. So Chav Zayin, Im Gamar Seudaso, Umayre Gamken, Umayre Gamken, Shenatal Yadav Lamayim Acharonim. So you finished the meal. Now, how do you really know that you finished a meal? This is a funny thing in halacha. Like, what do you mean I finished the meal? Maybe I can eat more, right? Like, how do you know I'm Gamar Seudaso? Especially, caught in the halachic quandary right now. Like, why don't you just keep eating a little bit for 5-10 more minutes? Then you'll do Poris Mapo Makadesh. Why are you making your life? This is, by the way, essentially going to be opinion number two. Why are you making your life harder? I finished the meal, so now I'm caught in literally the halachic twilight zone where I didn't bench, but I didn't make Kiddush yet, and now it's suddenly Shabbos by the sun. You got to be kidding me. So what did I do that I really declare that my meal is over, that I can't continue eating and make this whole Poris Mapo Makadesh situation happen? So, in halacha, I don't know if anybody here around the table uses Mayim Achronim. I'm actually one who doesn't use that does not use Mayim Achronim. But Mayim Achronim is a quite a strong custom. And not even custom, by the way. It was mentioned in the Gemara. It's not I'm making it sound like it's some afterthought. The Gemara talked about doing Mayim Achronim after every meal. You should wash your hands. Part of it had to do with a safety situation because of the melach sedomis that would if you because maybe you had some salt on the food or whatever, and then you touched your eye and it could burn. The other reason, of course, is that whenever you make a bracha, your hands should be clean.
So why
across the board
you use only the washing of the tip of your fingers? You're not really washing
because you're not when you touch your eyes, you're not really going like this often. Usually, when you touch your eyes, you rub your eye. This is what you're doing, right?
So it has nothing to do with the actual food or being.
It's because of that salt that they were very concerned that could burn you. So in order to make sure you rinse it off of your hands, when you touch your eye, you don't use the bottom part of your finger. You use the edge of your finger to touch if you have something that's bothering you in your eye.
Ariel showed us it. I think it was Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
He said his grandmother.
Yeah.
Was an Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
And after the war, she went back, and her father had hidden some things in and around the house.
Yeah.
In the dirt, and one of the things that she dug up was her Mayim.
The Mayim Achronim cup. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I also inherited a Mayim Achronim from my grandparents. I have it. I don't do it. Look, you know, the Melach Hedomis thing is not a concern. And by the way, and it's a whole totally different discussion. I'm not going to go into it too much now, which is that halachos that are based on danger, I know Rav Shapter certainly holds like this, that if the Metzius changes, then the halacha can change when it comes to danger. So there are other halachos, by the way. Did you know that if you leave your water uncovered over the course of the night, Chazal declared that that's you never know, they could put their venom into it and you'll drink poison, and you know, there are other things, but that's actually a fun topic. You know, especially as I guess you know, doctors would find interesting the Talmudic medicine. But the part about your hands being clean for a bracha, that is not changed, right? That your hands should be clean before you make a bracha. So if your hands are sticky, icky, whatever, from eating, you know, I get up and I walk to the sink and I wash my hands. That's still a reason to, you know, perhaps to do, anyways, Mayim Achronim. So anyway, so the point about Mayim Achronim here is that when you do Mayim Achronim.
So, Rav, why isn't there a bracha for Mayim Achronim? There's a bracha for Mayim Rishonim. And if you are saying that Mayim Achronim is so important, shouldn't there be a bracha for that?
So,
we say Mayim Achronim for that when we do that. So, how
right. It's interesting. Yeah. So, do we say, right? So, do we say at the end of the day, so we don't act that way? I'm just saying across the board, that's not something that's often done. So anyways, the Mayim Achronim question is, I mean, I don't know, Chazal never instituted it as like a full-fledged, I there is a line about that, right? Mayim Achronim Chovam. Do we pass them like that? I forgot.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
It's every time you...
Shlomo, for those of you on Zoom, I don't know if you can hear him. He reminded me of the line. I think in the Gemara it says that Mayim Achronim Chovam at some point. I just don't remember. It says in the Sidur. Oh, okay. So I have to double check if it's a chova. By the way, I did my research on the Hatova Meite thing. Okay. I'll get back to that. Okay. Okay. I did my homework this week. So the Mayim Achronim, they never instituted a bracha here. I don't know. I don't know. That's an excellent question, Simeon. Why did it not, if it was such an important concept? Why was it done without a bracha? Maybe because part of it was done with instituted because of danger, and it's not really mitzad asher kiddushar mitzosav et zibanu, but you need to do this because of your health. And that's not your health is a Torah concept, keeping your health in check. But it could be that's part of the answer. That's a good question, though. I don't have a good answer right now. Good question. So, anyways, b'mayri gamkein shenot al yadav l'mayim achronim. You washed Mayim Achronim. When you wash Mayim Achronim, you're done. That's it. Halachically, your meal is over. Okay? And the kodem shehiskel b'birchas hamazon. So because of that, I'm not allowed to eat more. Right? That meal is over. The only thing I have left to do now is bench. That's the only thing I can do. If I want to restart the meal, you have to restart the meal. Like you have to like go back to the beginning and you got to wash again. The whole thing is over. Okay? So, before I bench, as I'm washing my machronim, I suddenly finish my machronim, looking out the window. I say, oh, it's awfully dark. And I look at my watch. And I say, oh, what do you know? Shkia passed. Oops. Okay. Well, I didn't do anything wrong, at least. That's good. But now I have to make Kiddush. So, and on this is this explanation that the first I make birchas hamazon on the first cup, since I wash my machronim, I should bench right away, right? That's why I bench my machronim. So get right to it, get right to benching. I in Masha Kosta Bestimin Kuf Ayin Test. We'll get there. Kufayin test. We're gonna get there before you know it. Okay. We're only 8 simanim away. Avalim lo natal yadav. If you didn't wash your hands, you didn't do my machronim. Gama deya harishona, our opinion that we're studying right now, the first opinion, svir Allah, the poris mapo makadesh mikodem. Don't be silly. Do poris mapo makadesh. Don't put yourself in a halachic corner. V'lo yivarech borei priyagofen, and don't make borei priyagofen, assuming based on kiddush, in the time you make kiddush, assuming imshasa yayin mikodem emsasud, assuming you were eating drinking wine previously in this meal that led into Shabbos, v'chanis kavel v'stif dalad, and refer back to stif dalad and follow the instructions there. When you have a meal that goes into Shabbos, so you don't make borei priyagofen on the kiddush, you just make the kiddush bracha. We talked about this, right? Follow those instructions. You're in that world. You're in a stif dalad world. If you don't wash my machronim, you're in a sif dalid world. Okay? Vafilu amar havlanu nevarach. We talked about this. When I say, havlanu nevarach, come, let's bench everybody. I'm trying to gather everybody. Come on, guys, let's bench. Let's bench. Gam kein mekadesh mitchila. Kevin shalom notal yada vadayin. Then what should you do first? You make kiddush first. Don't bench. There's no imperative to bench right now. Rather, poris mapa mekadesh. What do you do? You make kiddush first, right? Since you didn't wash your hands yet on my machon. Aval, you cover the bread. You cover any bread that's on the table. You know, you should put lechem mishnah on the table. Yeah, you go. You're back in a stiff dalid world. Correct. But there's one differentiation. I need to say bar prayer gofen, because there I had a hesta chadas. When I said come, let's bench. I had in mind that we were done. So I created a hesach hadas. I created a break in my mind for the borei priyagofen bracha that I originally made. I thought, okay, I'm done. So when I say havlanu nevarach, I'm saying I'm done. But there's no imperative to bench. My machronim is an imperative to bench, that there should be no hefsek between my machronim and benching. But I didn't do my machronim here. I just said hakamas bench. There's no imperative though then to go ahead and bench. But I knew I need to make a new bracha rishon. So when I make kiddush, we talked about this. This is all sift dalet. When I do make kiddush, I need to say borei priyagofen in that world. Based on kiddush, kevin shamar halam v'havla nevarach v'chanis kaleb esteven kufayin testif aleph, as we'll discuss when we get to also more. We'll discuss more about this in kuf ayin test.
So just to be clear, if you're in that situation,
or we did actually, that's the halachos of brachos. Yeah,
you bench, you don't make borei priyagofen over the final benching, very priyagofen. You do kiddush. It's the very priyagofen.
According to the first opinion,
and this is what you just said now,
with no mayim achronim.
No, you didn't. Okay, mayim achronim, you're gonna bench.
So then you have to bench right away. You take your cup for the first cup, and you bench over the first cup.
And you do make, but you don't make the very priyagofen.
Let's read the Ramah. Here's where we get into sticky territory. Exactly. Okay, good. You're good. Okay. All right. And you're gonna have to wait. And Bruce, you're gonna have to wait one line into the Ramah to get your answer.
This is the first opinion. What you just meant.
This is all the first opinion. The first opinion says that you wash by a machronim, you will need to bench with the kos. The question will come up, as Bruce just said, do I drink from the kos? I have to make kiddush. And we learned that before you make kiddush on Friday night, once it's Shabbos, you can't even taste a drop. You can't even take a sip of water. Nothing. So can I take a sip of grape juice? Because I didn't make kiddush yet. You're in a bit of a pickle here. So take a look at the Ramban. He's going to point out all the problems of this first opinion. Okay, he says here, V'yesh omrim. Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Let's do chav ches and chav tes. I'm sorry. We'll finish, and then we'll go to the Ramban. Chav ches al kos sheni. Okay, you make a kiddush on a second cup. Aval ein omer shneim al kos echad. You're not allowed. This is a really important principle. This is in our Pesachim. Okay. You can't use one cup for both. You think, what about, I should just do that, right? By the way, we do that on Motzei Shabbos here, right? We do a benching over a kos. Nobody drinks from it. Because why? Why can't you drink from it, by the way? Now we should all know. Because you can't taste anything until you make Havdalah. So it's a catch 22. You can't make this, you can't bench with a kos at the end of Shabbos, assuming it's after Shkia, because you're not allowed to taste anything until you make Havdalah. So what do? We postpone it. We take the same cup and we go and make Havdalah over it. But you're not allowed to, generally speaking, do that. De'ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. You're not allowed to do mitzvos in bundles. You can't do mitzvos in bundles. You can't do, why? So I believe there was a Rashbam there in the Gemara. It's a kuf. It's in kuf, kuf beis in Arvei Pesach. I don't know that because I taught 8th grade Gemara. I always taught this sugya. And I think it was the Rashbam over there who talks about that it's a disgrace to each mitzvah. You didn't, you know, killing two birds with one stone is convenient for you, but it's not, it doesn't actually give the kavod to each mitzvah. It means that I was trying to cut corners and do things fast. And it looks like, I think his word, his expression is, it looks like the mitzvah is a masui, is a burden on me. And I'm just trying to get it over with as quick as I can. No, each mitzvah should get its own moment, its own attention, its own coast. Stop trying to smush the two together. And that's where the idea that you have to actually use two cups here comes from. Because of this principle, we don't do mitzvos in bundles. Ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. Another example of ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos, Tosfos actually on that page talks about this. Anyone know our other example? We try to separate out certain, we don't want to do...
Well, I'm cheating here, but Yom Tov, on Motzei Shabbat.
Yom Tov, Shechav Motzei Shabbos, where we do what? Well, that's an exception. Yakna has, and now why is that an exception? This goes back to, Shlomo brought it up earlier. Why is Yakna has an exception to the rule where we use the same coast, we make Kiddush and Havdalah over the same cup of wine? Yakna has, right? Yayin Kiddush near Havdalah's man, and then you at the end you drink. Why is it not Mitzvah Chavilos Chavilos? I should just Kiddush, drink, Havdalah, drink. Why? Because the source for Havdalah and Kiddush is the same, and therefore there's no differentiation. This is the Gemara already brings this up. The Gemara has this question. How could you do Yaknahas? And the answer is because the source for Havdalah and Kiddush is also Makor. It's the same source. Then therefore, it's not really Chavilos Chavilos. It's all sourced back to the same Pasuk. So that's an example of an exception. I was thinking, what's another example where we don't bundle? That's a great, by the way, I love that. That's a great sugya, by the way.
Yaknas is like when a yontif.
Oh, we did it this year, by the way. All the Yom Tovim fell out on Saturday, Sunday. So the Kiddush we made on Saturday night. Oh, no, that's a. Yeah, no, we did this. Yeah. So what did you do for Saturday night Kiddush? You first said Borei Pri HaGafen. Then you said the Kiddush Hayom, the Kiddush Yisrael v'Hazmanim. And then it's Saturday night. Every Saturday night, you have a Havdalah. So you have some candle that's lit beforehand. And you would say the Bracha Borei Me'arayesh. Then you said the Bracha of Hamavzil ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. Right? Just Havdalah Bracha. And then Shechianu Zman. That's the Bracha Zman. So that it's an acronym. Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman Yaknahaz. Okay? So how can you use the same coast for both mitzvahs? There are two mitzvahs. Kiddush and Havdalah are separate mitzvahs. So the answer is that they are sourced the same verse in the Torah of Zachor at the Yom HaShabbos. Now the really sharp person will say, what? The Kiddush of Yom Tov is learned from the Kiddush from the Pasuk that talks about Shabbos? The answer is kind of. because we learn the idea to do Kiddush from Yom Tov from the Kiddush of Shabbos. That's a whole interesting sugya. When we get to Yaknahas, I'm happy to talk more about it. I don't actually remember if Hayakna has comes up maybe in Hilchos Yontav, I guess. So we're far away.
Shabbos for counting the Omer and it's Yontav.
That's right.
Right?
Correct.
So there, that's the case.
It's lined up.
Then it's already the same.
Then it's
we're already calling it Yontav Shabbos. When you say the first Shabbos to count the Omer in the Torah, and you count from Yontav.
Right. If it's the second night.
Right, but it's still.
But the second night can never fall. Oh no, it can't fall out on a Motzei. Actually, this. Right, it can, because the first night can be on a Friday night. By the way, happens this year, guys. I just remembering everyone. This year, the first night of Pesach is Yachnas, Saturday night. The whole to do. There'll be a whole shiur about what do you do for a Motzei in the morning every time. So on Erev Pesach. But so this year you're going to do Yachnas at the Seder. And we use one cup. So, anyways, Chav Tes. Oh, but sorry, I forgot to give the other example. What's the other example where we don't bundle mitzvahs? Where we don't do Chav Mitzvahs, Chavilas? You go to a wedding, they will never use the same kos for the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. For the rabbi who makes the bracha for the Kiddushin, the Bor Priya Gofen. Well, think about it. Bor Priya Gofen. Okay, everyone takes a little sip. Mamish, 5 minutes later, unless the rabbi spoke him in the interim there, what happens? The ksuba is read. They call up the next, the Sheva Brachos. And what's the first bracha of Sheva Brachos? Bore Priya Gofen. Bore Priya Gofen again. What? Well, we should just use the same wine. Just pick up the same wine. Don't need to go to Bor Priya Gofen, and we'll make six more brachos. You know,
but we
don't bundle in that situation. And that's where Tosfos even mentions the minhag of reading the ksuba comes from in between the bracha for the kiddushin and the brachos, the brachas chasanim of the shev brachos. Okay, and that's why he says Tosfos says stick the ksuba in there, so that way there's a half stake.
Okay, so how do you
Shlomo
explain?
Yeah.
Have to pour a little
5 minutes later
back into the bottom. Take another half. You don't say the bracha again. Isn't that bundling its vote? Because you already said about before. So why would you say it again? Or you have another piece of fruit like a date or something. Because you said
if it's the same, you can bundle one.
Right. Meaning if things are, that's even the point of Yaknahaz, by the way. It shows you that if things are the same, then you can bundle them. Right, things are similar enough, then we bundle. Right, that's why Yaknaha says one cup. But that just shows you, by the way, the wedding example, the mitzvah of kiddushin and the mitzvah of nisuin are totally different. By the way, again, to the point that in the days of yore, they didn't do kiddushin and nisuin at the same time. Right, the birchas chasanim, the shev brachos, were not made the same day as they did the kiddushin. The kiddushin was done; they were betrothed to each other. They're not fully married. They had that's where by the way Tanoim made a difference. There'd be Tanoim between the family of the Chasun and the family of the Kala, because there were financial obligations now to each other. This is a serious they're married to the point that if they didn't want to continue forward with the marriage, they would need a get. Today we do it on the same time. Mama should
not
stay
everybody. Not everybody.
No,
people did it a month apart.
You had the Kiddushin.
Yep.
A step 1 month separate from the Nisuin?
Correct.
You're the first people I've met that I know that have done that have a separate Kiddushin and Nisuin. Wow. Yeah. So you had a ceremony for
right
under the chuppah that you walked to the chuppah and it was just Sheva Brachos?
Correct. Because we had done the Kiddushin in New Jersey with Gene's family's rabbi.
Uh-huh.
Who was not coming to our wedding. So we said, and that's not the reason we did it. You're going to crack up when you hear the reason.
Yeah.
My mother thought I was not serious about getting married.
Uh-huh.
She said, if you don't go through with this, you have to have a get.
Wow.
Bizarre. How wrong she was. But
wow. Okay.
So then we decided it would be very nice if Jean's rabbi did the Kiddushin, and that's why we did it in New Jersey.
Wow. Okay, you are definitely the first and only people I have met that I know personally that the kiddushin and the nisun were not at the same in the same 10 minutes.
A month apart.
People do things like that. You could have sold tickets.
Right. By the way, Bruce was pointing out for things like that, you could have sold tickets. The whole smicha program at YU would have been there to witness. What does it look like if you don't do it at the same time? You know.
You were also the winning one. Yeah. Because some of the family was in Israel, a lot of family was Israel, a lot of family was here.
Yeah.
So they wanted to.
So they wanted to split the celebration. Right. They did the kiddushin here, and then they flew there to the Shav Brachas. Right. Wow. Okay. You know, I've never. Of course, that used to be a very. That was the only minhag that existed. Now it's.
The couple is not married until they make.
Until they have the nisuin. Yeah, they have to come under the chuppah together. They have to be under the same house together. Nothing. They don't live together after kiddushin.
Getting everyone in one place and like saying one thing and then. Going somewhere else.
Because you're bringing the couple together, and then in order to financially make it all come together, again, they didn't have dating and you're taking the time and whatever. There absolutely was a celebration for the kiddushin. There was the meal. Of course there was the big meal. There was a big celebration. But the couple wasn't ready to move in together and move their finances together and move their lives together. At that moment, they just made the shidduch, you know?
Probably they were young.
Yeah. They were probably very young. He had to figure out, what are you going to do for a living? He had to go show me you can earn some parnasa. You want to live with my daughter? You want to be fully married to my daughter? You know, show me how you're going to make some money. And they wanted assurances from the girl's family. Are you going to bring a dowry into the marriage? So it was the whole to-do. And then at some point later, a year later, would then finally, okay, we're going to celebrate fully their marriage now. And then they moved into a house, etc. Yeah, the kiddushin, of course. That's where you need the witnesses, 100%. You need witnesses. You'll need witnesses also for the yichud and stuff like that later on. Yeah. Okay.
But Rav, that's all modern. That's relatively modern. The Gemara, Masachas Kiddushin is totally... devoid of that. It holds any one of the three methods works.
Oh, but even the Gemara already doesn't like one of them. Without getting into, I'm on tape being recorded here. So the Gemara already doesn't like one of those. The Gemara already didn't like the third method. Shtar is possible, but the minhag, very strong minhag was to use, by the way, not even kesef, the very strong minhag is to use shove kesef of the ring. So Kimat, everyone does it today, but you don't have to. You could use kesef. You could absolutely take a quarter. It's not the romantic. You could take a quarter and say hariat bekudeshasli be quarters vu, and with witnesses and a correct das, it could work. I don't recommend it. I don't think it'll be a good way to start the marriage. Just putting it out there. Okay.
You know, Rav, I always thought. There's a concept in Kiddushin about being able to be Mekadesh and Isha with a Shaliach.
But
the first Mishnah is Isha Niknes Bekesef Shtar Ubiya.
Yeah, there I don't think you should use Shaliach on the third one. Okay, let's get it on record. I don't think you can just okay, I think that's more in the Kesef realm or the Shtar. You want to, you know, oh, yeah, have that with a Get. A Get, you know, I actually was, I. Last story, I'm going to continue with what we're learning. I was actually 2 weeks ago here in the shul, not a shul couple at all, nothing even related to the shul. Happened to have been, I was one of the Eidim for the Mesira of a Get. There was a woman who was living in the general area here who needed a Get, the husband somewhere else. Not a good situation, obviously, that's why I ended with a Get. And a rabbi in Florida wrote the Get. The Get was FedExed here. And oh boy, you should have seen all the simonim that were on this get and the shtar. There was the shtaros signed by rabbis, you know, that they witnessed that the get was the get has us witnesses, but also that we witnessed that the guy gave permission to this rabbi in Florida to be the shliach for the get, and he was given permission to court other shlichim and appointed Aaron Morrison to be the shliach on the get. So you had another appointment from an appointment, which I was witness of that as well. And then I was an aide on the Mesira of the Get, and the ultimate Mesira of the Get. I was the witness, though. The husband and wife got divorced, and on that moment, the husband was in a different state, somewhere completely different. Now, whatever. But once you give permission to a shaliach to do it for you, to do something for you, as long as he doesn't revoke the shlichus, which he never revoked the shlichus, never came forward and said anything to that effect. So the get went forward with the shaliach because of the complicated nature of the scenario. So, shlichus is a strong concept. Okay, so anyways, here. Now on to Chavtes. Sorry, that took a lot longer than I thought. Shel Shabbos. The Azlinan Basar Hashta. Kevin the Bishashu Mivarech, Kvarnis Kadesh Hayom. So, why do you have to mention Shabbos in the Birchas Hamazon? You haven't even made Kiddush yet. Why? Because you go by now. Now is Shabbos, so I have to say Ritzay. Don't go too far into this opinion. Please know that there's a second opinion. We don't pass on that opinion. Okay, but one opinion when it comes to Birchas HaMazon is that the timestamp for Birchas HaMazon is now, right? It's now, right? So what insertions do I make right now? You know, depends on the timestamp of this current moment. The other opinion we're going to see will have a different timestamp. Now let's go upstairs to the Rama who throws a monkey wrench into all of Sifalim. Boom, right off the bat, says, what's the timestamp? Not the now, but the when you started is the timestamp. This is very important. This will play out many times on Purim. People will start their Purim Seuda while it's still day. By the way, very important, if you're going to do this, you have to daven Mincha first. Because Mincha is the monkey wrench that on this. Then you say, well, I'll start my meal 15, 25, 30 minutes before Shkia, Purim day, and it'll drag into the night. But if I have to daven Mincha right before Shkia, Mincha is fine to daven. Sorry, I meant Maariv. If I'm going to daven Maariv right around Mincha Maariv time, I say, well, I'll take a break, I'll daven Mincha Maariv, I'll come back, you're done. That's not a Purim suit anymore. Because when you daven and you declare it's the next day with your words, then it's no more, it's no longer, you can't claim that this is a meal that's started on Purim and is just an extension and a continuation of it. And in that scenario, you wouldn't be able to say Al Hanithim for Purim in the benching if you daven Maariv. But otherwise, take that scenario out. If your meal started 10 minutes before Shkia, you started on Purim and your meal drags till 9 o'clock at night, when you bench, you would say Al Hanithim. Because the timestamp for benching, in terms of the insertions of benching, the timestamp is the time that you started the meal. And that's what matters. And unless there's something like the davening that interrupts the timestamp, that's what you do when you bench. Another example for this happens not rarely. In fact, this coming week, we're going to have the problem. And I'm not even going to be here on Shabbos to make the announcement. So please remember it. Shalosh Shudas, Motzei Shabbos this week is going to be Rosh Chodesh, if I'm not mistaken, right? Saturday night is going to be Rosh Chodesh this coming week. So you're going to start the meal and it's going to be Shabbos and not Rosh Chodesh. You're going to end the meal when it's Rosh Chodesh. It's still Shabbos because Shabbos, you know, it's not by maybe the, you know, sort of the, it is Shabbos because it's Shabbos until you say it's not Shabbos. But it's definitely Rosh Chodesh when you're maybe benching even. And in a regular weekday, you would have said Yalev Yavo if you had started a meal after Shkia. And you were benching at that point. So now I'm in a real bind, because if I say Ritzay, it can't be Yalev Yavo time, and if I say Yalev Yavo, it can't be Ritzay time. So I have what's called a Tarte Disaste. I can't say both. It can't be both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. It's halachically impossible for it to be both. Sometimes we like as Jews to live in both worlds, and we try to be machmir for this and that. But you can't do that when you have two things that are logically in contradiction with each other, like this coming Saturday night, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. It can't be both. It just cannot be both. So what do you do in this scenario? You go, according to our opinion, that we say B'chein Ikar, you go by Haschalas HaSe'uda. So you will say Ritzay, and you will not say Yalev Yavo. You will not say Yalev Yavo this Motzai Shabbos. And I would say the same, Shlomo, sorry about that. You'll say the same, by the way, if you have Rosh Chodesh ending at the end of Shabbos, and then you're benching after Teisa Kochavim, you'll still say Ritzay and Yalev Yavo in that scenario. Or if you start a regular weekday, you start a meal and it's Rosh Chodesh, You know, these are the early days now, right? So I started eating at 4 o'clock, and it just happens to be Rosh Chodesh. Next Sunday, you're eating. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm eating, and I finish at 5. And of course, I dove into early mincha seasons, so I caught the early minyan. So you'll say Yalav Yavo, even though it's no longer Rosh Chodesh. Oh, maybe it's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Bad example. So, but you get my point. But you get my point, right? So you'll still say Yalav Yavo. Even though, no, it's a long Rosh Chodesh. That's important to remember because that does come up a few times a year where your meal started on one day and on the other day, can I still make the insertion of the first day or do I make the insertion of the second day? And the answer is you only stick with the first day. Okay. Let's take a look at Lamed in the Mishnah Berurah. Look, you know, it started and it was completely eaten. Not that even it was partially eaten. It was completely it was completed on the weekdays. This is all if assuming that you didn't continue to eat into once it was dark. And here's the big change: if I ate when it was dark, if I ate when a little bit when it was dark, so then lekule al matzarich lahaskil shel Shabbos. Then, of course, I can mention Shabbos. Which is why, in the example I used before, let's say Monday next week. So Rosh Chodesh is, and no, let's actually use a different example. Let's say I start a meal, it's weekday, it's a regular day, and it's going, and my meal goes into Rosh Chodesh. So typical Tuesday, whatever. So I started with a non-Rosh Chodesh day, and my meal continued into Rosh Chodesh, and then I benched. Would I say Ayala Viavo? The answer is yes, because I was eating into Rosh Chodesh. I mean, even though the timestamp is the beginning of the day, if I've eaten into Rosh Chodesh, I can mention Yalav Yavo. If my meal ended before I was eating on Rosh Chodesh, but I benched on Rosh Chodesh because a couple minutes later it was now Rosh Chodesh, then I don't say it. Now, the situation where you don't follow that is the example of this Saturday night, because then you're creating a Tarte de Sasre. Hi, baby. Then you're creating a Tarte de Sasre, because then you're creating a logical contradiction. It can't be both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. If I'm not mistaken, I should double check before I'm really sounding so confident. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that the answer is that you'll mention Ritzeh, but you won't say Yalav Yavo, because otherwise it's a logical contradiction. Okay. So that is.
You also mentioned the klal that the initiation of the meal, the start of the meal is the determining factor.
Yes, exactly. Certainly whatever, but
it's not consistent with the second opinion you just said.
No, but second. Well, no, because I'll tell you why. So that opinion means that if I started a meal on a particular day and it's now no longer that day anymore when I finish, I could still mention the sanctity of that day, whether it's Al Hanisim, whether it's Yalav Yavo, I can, because that goes back to the beginning of the Seuda. But if there's nothing unique about that first day that I was eating on, and the unique part was actually the day that my meal ended on, because my meal staggered 2 days, then I can mention that as long as I ate during that second day. Right, so if it's the Rosh Chodesh on a Wednesday night, and I started Wednesday before Shkia eating, and then I finish after Shkia, so now it's Rosh Chodesh, and I kept eating into Rosh Chodesh. Not that I didn't bench yet. Now it happens to be Rosh Chodesh, but I ate on Rosh Chodesh. So then, since I ate on Rosh Chodesh, I'm allowed to continue. Sorry, but I'm allowed to say Yalav Yavo. Again, the one piece that I'm just saying is that when there's a logical contradiction where it can't be both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Like this year, this week is not going to, this Moshe Shabbat, it can't be both Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. It just can't. It's either one or it's the other. To drag Shabbos along.
No.
In both zones.
But maybe you're sort of eating at
the. Yeah.
What do you do then? Then you've eaten in both.
You've eaten in both time zones.
Benching late. Into Rosh Chodesh, so you don't add Rosh Chodesh. But if you're eating, actually, it makes sense that what you're saying all along could work, even though it's not always a contradiction.
Yeah. Okay, let me, I gotta do my homework and I gotta send something to the group before this Shabbos. I'll find the answer.
Yeah, but there's a second issue. Shabbat, that this is a regular day.
Yeah.
So I you didn't say you didn't say the Abdallah. So
yeah,
you didn't break Shabbat.
Yeah. No, I hear. You definitely have to say. You definitely should say Ritzay. I feel like I remember the halachas that you don't say Yalav Yav. I'm gonna double check. I'll send it into the group for.
Because they didn't make kiddush, you didn't break the Shabbat. The Shabbat's still on.
Right.
As long as you continue.
Right.
So, if you say Rosh Chodesh, if you put Rosh Chodesh in it, you say, okay, well, I stop.
Exactly. That's the problem. Because if you say Rosh Chodesh, if you say Yalav Yav, you've now, it is your way of saying Shabbos is over in some way. Because I'm acknowledging the next day. That's the problem. I'm thinking of verbal acknowledgement of the next day by saying it's Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
And by doing that, I've now quashed Shabbos. Now, the real Talmud Chacham question here says, but Ritzay comes before Yalav Yav, so I'll say Ritzay. Then I'll say Yalav Yav right afterwards. what does it say here? Wishy washy.
Right, because he says, Machalpak, whoever Mishnah Burr, in Yan Sudat Shabbat, and Sakhala Matesh, the Matesh Shabbat, Shahalbo, right? She is Chayev Laskir Yalev Yavo, Im Achal Pat Gambalila, the Katava Primagadim, Shahashiro, who Kazaya.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it sounds like he's saying to both. Yeah, like if you've eaten both, you started on Shabbat and you continued eating on Rosh Chodesh.
Can I take a quick peek here? Sorry, well, of you. Where is this here? This is the West Simon. That would be very helpful for me if he answered. Kuf Pei.
Yeah.
Ches. Okay. All right. So, we're going to get, I'm going to pull it off the shelf in a minute. Okay. Let's keep going here. And then we're going to go to Kuf Pei Simon, Kuf Pei Ches to deal with this question. Take a look at the Ramah here. According to this first opinion, where you make a bracha on the coast, on Birkas HaMazon, you make Birkas HaMazon on the first cup, do you taste some of it or not? Right? It's a question. I'm not allowed to taste anything until I make Kiddush. So there's a big question. It says, a machlokas. There's also a machlokas. Do I need to eat after the Kiddush? I'm full, by the way. I just had a whole meal. Do I need to eat after the Kiddush? Kiddush, hey, ha Kiddush from Kom Suda? So the Kiddush is from Kom Suda? Or can I say that the weekday meal that I just had right now was my Mokom Suda? And now I'm just making Kiddush. And it's connected to a Suda just right afterwards. So it's Machlokasin al Machlokasin. So you have here a big problem. Take a look at Lamed Aleph in Yitom. The is sphere lahu, the sphere lahu, the mevarach bari piagaf betorim teichef kamok b'chol kosh shal birkas hamazon. They hold that you make bari piagafin, and you taste it right away, like any birkas hamazon that you usually do, where you taste the wine afterwards. The lo chashiv toim kodem kiddush, and this is not called tasting before kiddush. That was because why? Mishum de hakosh shayach lasteuda shayach kodem chovas kiddush, because this is really a continuation and an ending of the previous meal. So don't worked up that this is tasting before Kiddush, because this is really my completion of the previous meal. It's a little shaky. Okay, umemela and shuv eno tzarech levarech ledidhu bari piagafin al kosheni shal Kiddush. Rak birkas asher kiddushenu bilvad. If you're in that world and you hold of that, then when you make the Kiddush right afterwards on the second coast, you don't have to make bari piagafin because I just made bari piagafin on this other coast. There's no hefsek in between there. I'm wine. It's not. I didn't like. I'm not drinking wine now. No. And so you just continue with the second coast and the bracha of Asher Kedishanu, etc. Without the bar of Pregafen. The it's the sphere of the but there are those who hold Sheino told me that you shouldn't taste from the coast of the Birkas HaMazon. Mishum da'asa litom kodem kiddush, because the rule is don't taste. No tasting before kiddush. And you don't need to make a bari priagafin. You're not allowed to make a bracha of bari priagafin. You don't make a bar prayer gafen on the coast of Birkas Hamazon. You hold it the whole time. Batching is over. I put down coast number one. I pick up coast number two. I then begin with Bore Priya Gafen on that cup because I just benched. Now all my brachos have to be reset. Benching is the ultimate hefsek, you know, hefsek hadas, right? I literally declared I'm done. So I pick up a coast sheni, and on the coast sheni, I make Bore Priya Gafen, umekadesh v'shosehu, and I drink. So I drink from coast number two after I make Kiddushan, put it down, go back to coast number one, take a sip from coast number one, and now I'm good. This is a very clunky, you know, situation.
Obviously, the fact that you don't do it all the time, both at the end of the Birkas Hamazon is not the same as the coast, period.
Yes. Well, for sure you have to make a Borei Priya Gafen, but for sure you have to make a Borei Priya Gafen because you benched, right? That's why you definitely have to make a Borei Priya Gafen because benching sort of cancels out all the brachos.
Right?
If they bake the bracha and don't drink from it?
Don't drink. So the second approach is like, don't drink, put the cup to the side for a moment, pick up the other cup, make Borei Priya Gafen, and Asher Kedushano, etc. Drink, put down coast two, pick up coast one, take a sip from coast one, put coast one down. It's very cumbersome here.
Say about how you stop. You can't wait. You know, we don't wait. You just drink. After you say the bracha, you immediately have to drink it.
After the Kiddush bracha,
right? The first cup.
Though the first one, because I'm in, I don't make a Borei Priya Gafen. Think of it almost like what happens here, by the way, Havdalah on Saturday nights a little bit. Although we use one cup there, which is a fascinating question. How every shul does that. How we can use one cup because our Havdalah and Birkas Hamazon really, you know, bundleable. But we'll leave that aside. But the same idea happens that we bench with a cup. Don't make a Borei Priya Gafen at the end. By the way, on the occasion that there are a couple people who they didn't realize that you're not supposed to make a Borei Priya Gafen at that point, and they said the bracha. Actually, I was thinking I was away one Shabbos and it happened. I was there, so I said, okay. You should take a sip. Otherwise, the bracha levatala. And then I refilled the cup and we use it for Abdallah. But once you make a Borei Priya Gafen, like the case of the bread, by the way, you take a bite and then what are you going to do? You're stuck. So you take a sip and then we'll work it from there.
But that's so, the post at the end is still part of, is considered part of the meal at the end of the, is it? When you make that final Borei Priya Gafen,
is it considered a part of the meal? I don't know. I think that according to that first approach that we just read a moment ago, yes. But
if that's the case, then you should have added Shabbos to your benching.
Then you should have added Shabbos. Well, this opinion.
You started benching without having eaten on Shabbos. But you started the benching that you started before.
You're saying the wine is a part of the Seuda.
Yeah.
It's a very Talmudic argument, Bruce. I like it. Ever hear his argument? If the cup of wine at the end is a part of a meal, which allows me to taste it, but that's happening on Shabbos. That's fair. Oh, that's it was very good Talmudic logic there. I like that. Anyways, the problem with this first opinion is that it's rife with the machlokes. Yeah, Shlomo.
Have the wine that people got them as well. Do you have to drink it in the end or not? You're holding the wine.
Generally speaking, you should. We don't do it on Motzei Shabbos here because you're not allowed to taste anything until you make Havdalah.
Oh. But you say Borei Priya Gafen, then you drink it after the meal.
Then you. So we ended up using it at Havdalah, but you should at some point consume it. Yes. Meaning, if let's say we were at home when this happened, and you were having a meal,
you're just eating food.
Right. And now it's not, well, but then you should taste it, even if it's there's something like. But here, the problem is like there's extra Easter involved.
No, what I'm saying is when we don't do this, so we wash hands, we eat bread, and then we have wine on the side, and then the end you say, and then you drink it
on a normal basis.
On a normal basis, I'm not saying,
yeah. You should always yeah, make
it.
Then you have to say, and they have to say, exactly, say, I'll again, be up here again. But
it's in the end of the Sudan.
Yeah. Though it's funny, by the way, I don't know that you need to. I'll tell you why. Because there's no chiyuv, I believe, to drink melo lugmav. I believe for that you could just take a taste. In which case, if you had less than a shear, you don't need to make a bracha acharona.
Nobody said you give it to an underage.
So I give it to an underage kid. Yeah. Good point. Simeon, go ahead.
Rav, this isn't a question. I'm trying to recap it because I'm having difficulty understanding it. If you sit down to eat Friday afternoon and it is not part of your Shabbos meal, you're either earlier or you haven't declared it the Shabbos meal, whatever. And then it starts to get into Shabbos time. So now you have to make kiddush. Are you not obligated between that meal and between making the kiddush to create a hefsek between the two by saying Birkat HaMazon?
Meaning, when are you saying the Birkat HaMazon?
You sit down for the for the Friday afternoon non-Shabbos meal.
Yep.
And it's getting time now. You have to make Shabbos Kiddush.
Okay.
Between the non-Shabbos meal and the Kiddush, are you not chayav to make a Birkat HaMazon to create the hefsek between the two so that and then after you make Kiddush, you have to have something to eat because ain kiddush ela b'makom seuda, and then you'd have to make another Birkat HaMazon.
So because of everything that you're describing, when we get to Sif Katan Lamed Vav, the Mishnah Berurah is basically going to say what you said, which is that there are too many problems here. And kiddush b'makom seuda. So according to this first opinion, you don't need to stop and bench. The whole thing is a problem because you did Mayim Achronim. I just want to go back to that. Otherwise, you could continue to go eating into Shabbos with this meal, and you could avoid the whole problem, which is going to be opinion number two, which is don't stop right when keep going for 10 more minutes. For 5 more minutes, and then you'll do Poris Ma'apa Makadesh. It is only all became a problem because you halachically put an obligation on yourself to bench immediately with Mayim Achronim. So that's really where the crux of the problem here, Simeon, comes in.
Does it follow then that Kiddush does not have to be recited at the Haschala of the meal?
Kiddush does need to be ideally, but or the, at the beginning of the Shabbos part of the meal, meaning the meal might be somewhat chol and somewhat Shabbos. So whenever Shabbos starts, you have to make Kiddush right away. The question is, if that meal finished right beforehand, then what happens when I have a meal that didn't really happen on Shabbos? Can I count that as makom seuda if I make Kiddush 1 second after Shabbos starts, but I'm full because I just had a meal? Some say yes, some say no. We're going to see more about that next week or next time. But the whole thing should be avoided. We're going to see. But it depends on machlokas. Does Makom Seuda have to be on Shabbos, or does Makom Seuda, does the Kiddush have to be on Shabbos in a Makom that there's a Seuda, and there just was a Seuda here? And Makom Seuda, does it have to be at the beginning, or does there have to be some food after the Kiddush for the Makom Seuda? That's the question.
However, Rav, you offered a klal that says that the beginning of the meal is the criteria of what day it actually is. And if the meal started b'chol, how could you transfer that meal over and declare that it belongs to Shabbos?
Right. That's the first opinion. The first opinion that makes it harder. It makes it harder to say that. But unless the meal continued into Shabbos, if it continued into Shabbos, so then you can have everyone agrees that you can transform it into the Poris Mapo Makadesh. All right, I have to run. There's a minion.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you all. And next week, I'm not here, just a Sunday morning. So no shir. So 2 weeks from now, we'll continue, okay? All right. Have a wonderful day.
We'll miss it, but have a good time and stay safe.
I will too. Thank